If you're new to church, we spend time every Sunday opening up the Bible and seeing what God has to say to us together. And I want to just, before we dismiss the band, I want to introduce a character to you that we're going to be talking about today. And today, as we continue with our There Is More series that we started last week, we're going to be talking about somebody called Mary of Bethany. Now, we find Mary in the book of John in the Bible, and Mary in John chapter 12 has this outrageous moment of worship. It's uncomfortable. I don't know if you've ever been in church before. You're like me. It's like, no, I'm probably the uncomfortable one. But you've been in church and you're just trying to do your thing. And then someone starts praising him like, hey, do you just want to chill out a little bit there? That's this moment. Mary shows up. Everyone's having dinner together. And Mary takes her most expensive perfume. Some have even suggested that it might have been a year's wages. And she takes it and she pours it out and over Jesus as an act of worship. You imagine you've invited a guest around and someone brings this perfume. It's like, it's a bit uncomfortable, Jesus. And she has this amazing moment of worship. But the very chapter before, in chapter 11, she was in a very different place. Because in chapter 11, Mary is there with her sister Martha, and their brother is very sick, gravely sick. And she's in a very different place. I just wonder if we can bring up on the screen John 11, verse 1 to 3. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. They sent word. They let Jesus know, the one you love. They said, this isn't just about us. This is about you, Jesus. You love Lazarus. Come and do something about it. And they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting. And Jesus hasn't shown up, and they're waiting. And here's the thing about Mary and Martha. They know that Jesus can heal people. They're friends with him. They've seen him do it before. They know that he can come through, and yet they are having to wait on a promise. And I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you're believing for something and it hasn't come through yet. It can be difficult. This is where Mary and Martha found themselves in a moment of great disappointment. And if you've read this story before, you've heard that Lazarus actually doesn't make it. Lazarus passes away. And Mary cannot believe it. She is angry. She is disappointed. She is hurt. And so welcome to church. I hope it's encouraging for you. Here's the question I want us to wrestle with this morning in church as we open up the Word of God today. If you can bring it up on the screen for me, Neela. It's this. What do I do when life's experiences do not match my belief in who Jesus is? What do I do when my life experiences do not match my belief in who Jesus is? That's the question we're going to wrestle with today. Hopefully, at some part of your life, this may be relevant. Because I think this is one where, here's what you need to know about me as a preacher, if you're going to start coming along, being a part of this community. We're not going to tiptoe around the big questions in life. We're going to say, what does the Bible have to say about the things we really actually think about Monday to Friday? Because sometimes we can come into church and we can tickle ourselves with a nice encouraging message, and then Monday to Friday, it doesn't make a difference in my life. We're going to talk about the things that say, what does God have to say about this in my life? And so I want to pray for us as we jump into the Word this morning, and then we're going to dismiss our amazing band. Father, thank you so much that in your Word, you do have answers for the questions of our soul. Lord, the moments of disappointment and frustration, the moments of pain and hurt, the questions we have, Lord, you have answers for them there. And so, Jesus, we come today, Lord, as your children. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, encourage us, minister to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen, team. Thank you so much. So we are going to be talking today about that question. And I want to, I don't know if you've ever hoped for something before. You just really hoped for it. I remember a moment in my life, I still remember the date, where I had real hope in my life. It was the 2nd of November, 2019. And some of you, when I tell you what happened on that date, you may remember it. I was living in England at the time, and there was a Rugby World Cup going on in Japan. Thank you very much. You remember. Okay, good. And the English team had just smashed the All Blacks. One of the best games I'd ever seen. It was unbelievable. The Springboks barely made it past the Welsh. And if you're from England, you don't think a lot about the Welsh. So it's like, you could barely beat the Welsh. So England against the Springboks in the final, we were feeling confident. We were feeling hopeful. It was going to be a great day. There were going to be parades in the streets of London. People were going to climb up lampposts and start singing the national anthem. We were all ready for it. And then this happened. All right, that's enough of that, Neela. Flipping it. Get off the screen. Outrage. I remember sitting behind the sofa in my house. What happened? And who is this Cheslin Colby fella? You'll be pleased to know this year, or last year, I lived in South Africa for 3 years when we played in the semi-final. And some of my friends will testify to this. I was South African. I did cheer. Now, that can never get out of this room because my English family members would be horrified. But I did let out a squeal when the box scored a try against the English. I was like, what's happened to me? They've converted me. The box of the team you love to hate when you're outside of them. And then you get here and you watch the Rising Sun documentary. You're like, these guys are the best. I love them so much. So I was hopeful. I was hopeful that we would make it through. I don't know. I want to ask this question as we get into today's message. Where do you place your hope? Where do you place your hope? Not there. Bless them. Where do you place your hope? Because I think many of us place our hope in different kind of situations. Bless them. Many of us place our hope in different places, whether that is our bank balance, whether that is our, you know, some of us it's going to be, when I am employed in a job that is fulfilling me, I'm feeling hopeful. But as soon as that situation changes, I feel like I'm losing hope. For some of us, that's going to be, like I say, in our financial situation. Hey, let's just reflect for a second as we enter election year. Some of us place our hope in governments and politicians. And now let me be clear. I passionately believe in the political process. I am very a massive advocate for people in our church supporting every party. I'm for it. But we can't place our hope there, church. If we try and start putting our hope into people instead of into Jesus, we're going to be in trouble. We're placing our hope into certain relationships that we have, placing our hope into authority figures. We're going to get in trouble when we do this. But here's the interesting thing about the story that we opened up with. Mary seemed to place her hope in the right place. She says, Jesus, I have hope in you to come through. I believe. And everyone be around her. Mary, what a hero of the faith. You've got this. And yet, for Mary, it seemed not to play out the right way. Proverbs 13:12 tells us this about hope. That hope deferred makes the heart sick. but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. We even see in John chapter 11, verse 20, what happened because of Mary's hope. She says this in, the Bible says this in John 11, verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. This is after Lazarus has passed away. Mary couldn't even bring herself to go and see Jesus. She was that disappointed. She was that discouraged. I've got friends, I've got family, even in my own life at times, where experiences and situations have happened where I'd just be encouraging them. I say, hey, maybe you just need to take some time to go and pray. Maybe go and take some time in worship. Maybe go and take some time in the Word. And they literally, I see it, they're like, I don't even know if I want to be in His presence right now. I don't know if I want to be there. Because of the pain, because of the challenge that people feel. But just, if I can give you a spoiler alert, the story takes a big turn. Because if you know anything about this story, it's that Lazarus dies, but Jesus shows up and he's raised back to life. He's raised up from the dead. Jesus had a plan and Mary couldn't see it. Mary couldn't see what Jesus was doing, so she lost hope. And I would even go as far as to say this. I think Mary missed what Jesus was doing. If you just bring it up, Neela. Mary missed what Jesus was doing because she'd lost hope in his goodness. She stopped believing he was good because of something he didn't do for her. Let me say it to you this way. Some of us, and I think this includes Mary, some of us want to see the work of Jesus' hands, but we forget the nature of his heart. His character, his nature is filled with goodness. And so when something didn't happen the way that Mary wanted to see it happen, what she needed to do in this moment was remind herself of his nature, of his character, of his goodness, even though in a moment of pain and frustration and disappointment, she didn't see it, he was still good in his nature. I've got quite a simple message for us today, church, but it's simply this. I think some of us maybe have been disappointed or hurt or frustrated through life. And we've said, God, why didn't you come through there? What happened? And we lost hope. We lost hope in certain situations, in certain moments. But here's what I want to tell you today, church. The story is not over. Your story is not finished. Your story is not finished. There is more yet that he wants to do in your life. There is more that he wants to do and how he wants to move in you. The story is not finished. I think some of us came into church. Maybe you came last week. Maybe you came this week. And you said, I don't know what I'm searching for, but I know something needs to be fixed inside of me. And I want to tell you today, church, the story is not finished. There's more. There's more that he has for you. There is more hope. There is more hope. In this story, in this moment, there was more hope. Mary didn't see it at the time. She didn't see it at the time, but there was more hope for Mary in that moment. Because when we jump ahead in the story, what we see is Mary starting to learn how to access the hope that was needed for that moment. Because why do we need hope? You need hope to sustain you through the difficult moments in life. Because if you're anything like me, life is not always full of daisies and skipping through fields and just life is great all the time. No, there's challenges that come our way. We need hope that there is one who is greater one who is higher, one who will come through for us, one who will make a way. And this is as true for you if you've been a Christian since the day you were born, whatever that means. You've been in church all your life. I'm one of those church kids. I shared this story with some of our team before. My birthday is the 4th of December. I was baby Jesus in the Christmas play by the 25th. My mum was Mary, and she had me on the stage. I'm that kind of church kid. I've been around it. I've been going to more church. I was the one on the back row of church who was like had my crayons out whilst it's like 11 o'clock at night and they're still all running around with the flags. I'm still colouring in like, oh, right, cool, okay, great. It's one of these services again. I'm church, but let me tell you, in my life, I still need hope. If you've been around church all your life, I know that you still need hope in Jesus. But let me say as well, if this is your first time you've ever been in a church before, you need the hope of Jesus today. And so the question is, how did Mary access that hope? Because she went from, I refuse to see Jesus. And then Jesus looks around, he's like, where is Mary? And so it says that, the Bible says that Jesus then said to Martha, Martha, go and get Mary. So Mary comes out, I imagine it, in one of those, like, I have a toddler now. And if you've ever seen a toddler having to do something they don't want to do, you know, Mary gave it one of those. She's like, and she comes out, and it says she lay down at his feet, and she says, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. She was angry. But then she began to access hope. What did Jesus do that we can learn from in this story? I think there are just a few things as I was reading through this story that jumped out to me that I want to give to you today. John chapter 11, verse 38 to 39 says this, Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. The first thing that Jesus did, first thing he said, was take away the stone. Take away the stone. I think for some of us in our lives, we are hiding things behind the stone. What do I mean by that? For some of us, there are things in our lives that have died off in us. Dreams in us. I think we got a room filled with some dreamers. While I was praying, God dropped the phrase in my heart, wake up, dreamer. Wake up, dreamer. I think there's some dreams in you that you had when you were younger. Dreams that you had when you were a kid. Things that you were praying for. Things you were believing for. And because of disappointments, those things died off in us. Those things died off. Maybe it's even your faith has been behind this stone. And it's starting to die off. And here's the thing about the stone being rolled away. Jesus did not roll the stone away. He said, take away the stone. For some of us, we've got things in us that we don't want anyone else to see. We're afraid of the vulnerability. We're afraid of letting anyone else in. And guess what? It's starting to stink. It's like Martha said, don't open up that stone. It smells bad. Some of us, the things in us are starting to, it's not, and you know it's not healthy. And we don't want to let people in and be vulnerable. Why? Because if we do that, what will they think of me? What will they say about me? They'll think I'm crazy. Guess what? So am I. We all got some crazy in us. Exhibit A. We've all got some stuff in us that needs healing, that needs resurrecting, that needs bringing back to life. Let me tell you, if you connect into this church, you are not going to find yourself with a group of people who have it all together. Let me guarantee you of that. But we are a group of people who are running towards the one who does. Desperately holding on to Jesus, saying, you are the answer. You are all that we have. And so I want to encourage you today. Roll away the stone. Maybe you've been hiding some things. Maybe even some things from yourself. You've been pushing them so far down in you. You say, I can't let anybody see that stuff. It stinks. It's horrible. Jesus wants to heal those areas of your heart. He wants to come in today. And I want to encourage you and say, you can trust him to restore your heart. Maybe some of us feel like our hearts have been bruised and battered. And so you've allowed it to be hardened. You say, I'm not going to let anyone that close again. Let him in today. Take away the stone. Maybe it's going to be messy for a while. Don't worry, we're not afraid of the mess. We've come from mess. That's who we are. Don't worry about the mess. Jesus wants to heal you today. Jesus wants to restore. There's hope that he can do it. I was talking to my dad about this message earlier on in this week. My dad's a pastor, so I get to just steal all his ideas and pretend they're mine. I was talking to him, and he said, the thing that builds hope in people's lives is when, and he's saying, this is why the church is so important. How do we get hope? Oftentimes, it's when we see the testimonies of other people who have already gone there. We say, well, they did it, and God came through for that person. Well, they came through for that person. Well, maybe he could do it for me. I want to tell you today, church, if you're here and you're feeling a little bit hopeless, there's a group of people here who have been through it and come through the other side. And there's some of us who are still going through some things. That's why we need each other. Galatians talks about this idea. It says, when building the church, that we're meant to carry our own burdens, but it also says carry one another's burdens. Why does it say that? Because that's what the church is all about. It's me growing in strength so I can follow Christ. But also, it's me saying, hey, let me come alongside you. Hey, you need some support? Hey, I'm there. I'm praying with you. I'm cheering you on. Hey, can I come and help? Anything I can practically do. Let me step into your life. And I want to do that for you guys, because here's what I know. I know there's going to be a day when I need the same. When we stood there, one of my new friends, David, that I got to meet last week, I'm going to say, David, I need you to pray for me. I need some help here. I need some support. And I hope there's a day that I get to do that for him. But we get to do it for one another as we build church. So would you take away the stone today? If there's some mess, you don't know where I've been. Hey, let me tell you, our launch team, we've been some places. Some of the people on our launch team messed up, but Jesus healed them. Jesus rolled away the stone. We rolled away the stone. We said, Jesus, heal us. And he's done that in us. So take away the stone. The second thing I want to show you here, John 11, verse 43. Another thing Jesus says. When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus was in the tomb. And Lazarus comes out alive. Jesus calls out. He says, come out. Don't stay where you've been. I think for some of us today, how are you going to access the hope that we have in Jesus? It's going to be by not staying where you are and saying, I'm willing and ready to change. I'm ready to step into something new. I'm not going to stay in this place of disappointment. I'm not going to live anymore in my hurt. I'm not going to live anymore in my shame. I'm going to come out from that place, and I'm going to step out into something new that he has for me. Lazarus, come out. What is it that Jesus is wanting to call out of you today? Faith, come out. Trust, come out. Hope, come out. Maybe he wants to get rid of some stuff as well. Fear, come out. Rejection, come out. You're gone. Because when we draw near to Jesus, you just start getting this courage, this confidence. It's like, if he's done it before, he'll do it again. Lazarus, come out. We got to come away from the place we've been to access hope. Don't live in the doubt. Access hope. Final verse I want to give you. John 11, verse 44. This is the second part of the verse. It says, Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Take off the grave clothes. I want to tell you today, take off the grave clothes. What is it that you've been wearing, living under, that you've got to leave behind? Some of us have certain mindsets, certain ways of thinking. Say, this is how my parents were. Well, this is how it's always been. Surely, I don't know if it can change. That's just who I am. You take those things off today, church. You say, there's a new thing that he wants to do in me. There's a new hope that he wants to pour in to my life. Take off the grave clothes. Leave them behind. And so, I want to leave you with that thought. There is more hope. There is more hope.